29. Don't forget, next Sunday, of course, it's a combined service, start at 10:30. There'll be no Sunday school, no classes next week. Everyone's going to be in here. And we'll have a whole lot of singing and a little bit of preaching. And then we're going to eat some fried chicken, which most everybody likes fried chicken. And then we're going to, and there'll be other stuff as well. And a bunch of sides. Keep in mind, that's what I wanted to tell. Oh, man, it just came to me. Isn't that great? If things go as I'm praying they will go, there will obviously be more people here, hopefully quite a few more than normal. With that being said, when we prepare the sides, you know, the things that we bring, it might behoove us to increase the amount. What do you think? Otherwise, you know, if we bring a little dish or something, it's not going to go very far. So I know that, you know, I don't expect you to feed the whole group, okay? But if we can bring enough for our families and maybe a little bit more than we normally would, then that would take care of. Because there's going to be a lot of people coming, even ones that I know of, ones that I've invited that are not bringing anything. So if you have 15 people, and they're coming as guests and they're not bringing anything, you got to feed 15. And that's just who I know is coming. Okay. So I don't know how many you've invited that are coming, that are guests. All right. Let's look at the rest of, Lord willing, chapter 29. We're looking at the covenant renewed, or if we go with the MacArthur view, a new covenant. We looked at verses 1 through 8, which talked about the past. And we looked at the call for obedience in verses 9 through 15. And we got almost finished with that section. We're down to verse number 14. And the importance of verses 14 and 15 remind us that whatever they did that particular day in regards to accepting and committing to obey the covenant would impact future generations. I think we're seeing in our country right now the impact of decisions that the last 2 to 3 generations have made regarding church and spiritual things. Do you think it's by accident that our nation is morally declining by the day? I mean, do you think that just happened? Obviously, there are a myriad of reasons why we're seeing a decline. But one of the major ones, in my opinion, is even folks that have been in church for the last couple of generations, the commitment level and the dedication and the fear of God, and the desire to obey God, and the desire to be in the center of the will of God, has drastically decreased, even among those that claim to know the Lord and are in church. Parents are less apt to parent. Many parents use electronics as a babysitter. And there's not a lot of intimacy in the family. There's, you know, it's becoming rare for families, for instance, to eat supper together. I mean, we always ate supper together growing up. We weren't a spiritual family by any means. So things have changed. And now, of course, folks, you know, everybody has a God. At least one, right? Everyone. Someone said, I'm an atheist. Well, yeah, you may not believe in the one true God, but you have a God. It might be yourself. Might be your job, might be a family member, might be a hobby. And now we see all kinds of gods springing up. You know, there's a new religion that's springing up across the country. Very small, small amount of people in comparison to the population in the United States. But it's a trans religion. Have you heard about that? I mean, it's sweeping the country and it's all over the airways. It's all you hear about. You'd think that half the population were trans. Am I right or wrong? I mean, it's everywhere. It's all you hear. It's all you read. And That's a religion, and there are a lot of religions, and they're obviously false religions. Some are quite perverted. Another religion that's been around for a long time is abortion. Woman's right to choose, even though that baby is an individual life inside of that womb. That's been a religion, we saw how important it was when we were shocked by the results of the midterm elections, and much of it is because of very young, of voting age, young, freaked out over the fact that abortion has not been eliminated, but been limited to some extent. They went nuts and they voted, and we saw what happened. So Moses reminds this generation that what they decide and how they live from this point on is going to determine the history of the nation, the future of the nation, I should say. Verse number 14, neither with you, I'm going to back up to 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, and a better way to translate that would be your God, as he has sworn unto thee, as God had promised, and he did it through swearing unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God made promises. And God always keeps his promises. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. So Moses said, it's not just for them. It's not just for them alone, but present and future generations were to obey the Lord if they intended to be blessed. And it's the same for us. If we want to be blessed, obedience is the only way. It's the only way to be blessed. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day, or future descendants. So that finishes up calling for obedience. Then 16 through 29, the rest of the chapter, contain warnings of judgment. Warnings of judgment. We have 13, 14 verses there. So if we could have somebody read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How about 16 through 21? Anybody want to read those? 16 through 21? Bill, you want to read them? And then 22 through 29. Anybody? 22 through 29? Volunteer? Mary? All right. Bill, you go ahead and get started.
For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law.
Okay, Miss Mary, 22 through 29. Might as well read it all, and then we'll go through it.
So that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you, the foreigner who comes from a far land, would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid upon it, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and burning, and is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zebulun, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. All nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of the great anger mean? Then people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on every curse that is written in his book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and wrath and in their indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law.
All right. Thank you both. All right. Verse number 16, Moses takes them back in time and they remember. He said, listen, I want you to think back of how it was in the land of Egypt and the various nations when we were delivered out of bondage in Egypt, and the various things we saw. And I don't know if you noticed, but over and over, we saw it in our study of Isaiah on Wednesday night. We see it here throughout Deuteronomy. We read some passages in Exodus and Numbers as well. And we can go throughout the Word of God and see God's hatred for idolatry. As a matter of fact, I forget the passage, but there's a passage that says basically that God treats idolatry as witchcraft, which God also detested. It's an abomination to God. An idol, in its simplest definition, is not just something made of wood or stone that people in faraway lands bend down and worship. But we're talking about anything that comes between us and God. That's what an idol is. So in our day, in our world, an idol can be another person. It can be a hobby. It can be a job. It can be money. It can be things. I mean, there's all kinds of different anything that blocks our vision of God, takes away our affection from God, where he's no longer number one. Because isn't Christ to be preeminent? What's preeminent mean? Number one, right? So Moses bring, and again, remember, they didn't all have copies of the Bible like we do. They didn't, the Pentateuch, the first five books, they weren't written yet. Parts that were written, the ones that had it, were the priests and the Levites. Common folk didn't have it. So the way they remembered was to write some things down. Remember the phylacteries? They would wear them on their wrist, have little portions of scripture. Sometimes they'd put them on their doorposts and stuff, scripture passages and that sort of thing. They'd wear it sometimes on their forehead. But mostly it was oral tradition. I mean, remember Deuteronomy 6 talking about training children and the importance of letting children know that they're to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why we see so much repetition, as I mentioned last time, in the book of Deuteronomy. So again, he takes him back. He said, now remember, as you pass through these lands, in verse 17, you've seen their abomination, which again is a detestable thing in the eyes of God. And by the way, we that are truly born again believers should also hate the things God hates, shouldn't we? We should love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. I mean, we're his children. His Holy Spirit lives within us. The Spirit of God is one who should direct us as we desire to be in the center of his will. He said, you've seen their abomination, you've seen their idols, wood, stone, silver, gold, which were among them, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a family or a clan or a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. There's a passage in Hebrews that talks about how someone in the church can have this root of bitterness that can defile the church. Here Moses is saying, an individual may think, you know, I'm only one person and I'm not doing this out in the open. I have my idol in my tent and no one else knows about my idol, so it's none of their business. I'm gonna worship my idol in my tent. And God says, yeah, I know about it, and it's gonna impact the entire nation. We're gonna be in Joshua after we finish Deuteronomy. Remember Achan? What did Achan do? They weren't supposed to take stuff and bury it, okay? And he took a Babylonian garment of some sort and he buried it in his tent. And what happened after it was found out? Of course, they lost their second battle at Ai because of this deed that one man did, quote unquote, in secret. And what happened after that? His whole family died. When it was found out it was Achan, his whole family, not just him, but his whole family. And it impacted the entire nation because they lost their battle in Ai. So it does matter what we do. It can impact the whole church as well as our own families. And the bitterness, the root of bitterness, it's like spreading poison. When you think of the root, that's where the tree gets its nourishment. Everything comes through the root. Roots go in the ground, and they reach out, and they get moisture, and they get food. And the tree grows or doesn't grow, depending on how good the soil and the moisture and the nutrients are. And we don't want a root that bears gall and wormwood because that's poisonous and bitter and end up with poisonous or bitter fruit. And it come to pass when he hears the words of this curse, and of course, this was a sworn covenant. Remember, they were swearing under God that they were going to obey the law, obey the instruction of the Lord. They swore they would. That he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. I'm going to be safe, though I walk in the imagination, or literally the stubbornness of mine heart, to the add drunkenness to thirst. The idolater would also stand out in the community if it got beyond the tent, and he might say something like, you know, I'm fine, I don't see any problem. Sometimes we are fooled. We think because judgment is not immediate, it means God doesn't care, or God really, you know, it's not a big deal. That's just the mercy of God allowing us time to repent. But he likened it to someone, the last part of, though I walk in the imagination or the stubbornness of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. In other words, it'd be like a person saying after they are dead drunk that they're sober. I mean, if you're dead drunk, you're not sober, are you? But this person would be like someone going out and standing out in the street, and then they're staggering around drunk, and they're telling everybody, don't believe what you're seeing. I'm really sober. Well, it doesn't change the fact that that person is drunk. The Lord will not spare, literally will not forgive him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. So the idolater would have no place among God's people because God would curse him and ultimately kill him. God hates idolatry of any kind. God hates idolatry, and so should we. As a matter of fact, Revelation 21:8, another treasure path verse, you know, the little red book, I think there's one left up in the rack over there, the memorization course that my mentor, Brother J.O. Grooms, that was his first little book. He has wrote six of them, different topics to memorize scripture, and that one is geared toward assurance in the believer's heart, and also then being able to answer questions that others might have. It's a great tool. 178 verses in it, two are repeated, so that's why there's 178, not 180, but split up into five scripture per section, and each one has topics, and it's an awesome book. Memorized that right after I got saved. I need to go over it again, because you know you forget. Boy, do I forget. But actually, scripture is one of the few things that there are times when I have to say I don't remember exactly how the verse goes, but all in all, a lot of those verses come back because I've had them memorized for over 40 years, so they tend to stick a little bit more, you know? All right, so in Revelation 21:8, and the fearful and the unbelieving and murderers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So part of that list is idolaters. Paul also, in 1 or 2 Corinthians, also wrote a passage talking about those that would not inherit the kingdom of God. And a part of that list are idolaters. And also witchcraft is in that list. I didn't give you the full Revelation 21:8, the full verse. But idolatry is something that God will not tolerate. He just won't. And you know, we have churches in the United States that claim to be Christian churches. Yeah, you go into their church, and I won't name it. I'm normally not afraid to do that, but it's Easter. I want to be kind. But there's statues all over the place, and people worship. Who is supposed to be worshiped? Anybody else? Huh? God, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triunity of God, three persons, yet one God. Can I explain it? No, there's no way. I accept it by faith. Well, why do you accept it? Because the Bible says it. If it says it, it's true. Even though I don't understand it in my finite human mind, I know that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You take one of the three away, there's no God. If you are one that denies the existence of a personal Holy Spirit, not a force, but a person, a personality, Holy Spirit, then there's no God. If you deny that there's a God the Father, then there's no God. If you are one that says, no, Jesus is not the Son of God, he is not equal with God, he was just a good teacher, a moral man, leader of a cause, or he was a prophet, or whatever. I've heard all kinds of explanations. If a person does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, with a human body, 100% God, 100% man, if you deny either one of those, then you have denied God. I mean, it's written over and over in the Word of God. John spent a lot of time in it in the first epistle, and even Jesus. Believe in me, or believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because I'm God in the flesh, Jesus is saying. All right, so verse 21, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out. Now, that's a little ambiguous, a little hard to get the direct meaning there. Something like this is what it says, and the Lord shall single him out. ESV says, single him out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. It can refer to Deuteronomy 28, where the curses are listed, or it can also refer to the curses that are listed in the book of Exodus, but specifically Deuteronomy 28. So that the generation to come of your children and that shall rise up after you, and the stranger or the foreigner shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues or the afflictions of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it. And what that would be is a witness to the holiness of God, or the holy standard, excuse me, of God's law. Because God is a holy God, and he has requirements. And he made it very clear through Moses what he expected from the people of Israel. Made it very clear and repeated it. And repeated what would happen if they disobeyed God's law. And now we're seeing some very serious things that are promised if disobedience becomes their way. The whole land is brimstone. You know, that's burning, right? You think of brimstone, thinking about fire, right? And salt. When I think of salt, like the Utah salt flats, I don't think of lush crops growing out there. Do you? Not much grows in the salt, like nothing. Burning that is not sown, nor bears fruit, nor any grass growing therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Admah and Zeboim, which were towns right there that were destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, before the fire of God fell from heaven and destroyed them because of their debauchery, they resembled a paradise. Why do you think Lot chose that portion of land? Abraham said, "You go ahead, you choose." And Lot, of course, chose what was fertile and looked the best for his cattle and stuff. And then, of course, he got involved in the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, we know what happened. But even though they resembled paradise before destruction, they were now in total ruin. God said, that's what's going to happen if you disobey me and end up in idolatry. There will be total, complete destruction. And the nations will look and see. In verse 24, they shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? And the question is answered in verses 25 through 28. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So it reminds us as well, it's a costly thing to disobey the will of God. And yet most believers don't even think about the will of God, live their lives day after day after day after day with little thought of God, a little fear of God, and certainly a little concern about what God so wills for them. It's a horrible way to live, because we miss out on God's best. If we're going to have the fullness of God's joy that was promised, that full life, that productive life, that life of satisfaction, we got to be in the center of the will of God. And sometimes that's not the easiest place to be, is it? It can cost something. And they went and served other gods and worshiped them, just as God said, don't do it. They did it anyway. Gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. God said, there is but one God, and I am he. Worship me. The anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it the curses that are written in this book. Again, Deuteronomy 28 and beyond. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger. Looking ahead now, they're not even in the land yet here, are they? But giving them fair warning, this is what's going to happen. You get into the land, you start getting into idolatry and start worshiping the gods of the peoples that you're going to to have victory over. This is what's going to happen. Rooted them out of their land in anger and wrath or fury and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Maybe they were standing around wondering what's going to happen in the future. Well, obviously, if you disobey, here's what's going to happen. But you know what God wants from us? He wants us not to be overly wrapped up in things that are going to happen that we're not totally aware of. We have the end of the story in the Bible, but we don't have all the details, do we? And we could lay awake at night and try to figure out some of the secret things. I think sometimes pastors and teachers and theologians or whatever, college professors, try to go a little further with Scripture. In other words, taking the events of the day and over-applying them. We can see signs. Lord told us there would be signs. But that's where Jack Van Impe went off the deep end. He used to be, I mean, that guy was as solid as the day is long. Independent Baptist preacher. And then he got totally wrapped up in future things. And then he began to read the newspaper while he had his TV broadcast and basically plug everything into. You can't do that. You get out of balance. And so that's the warning here. There are things that only God knows. God has not revealed them to us. He may not reveal them to us until we're with him. How about really focusing on what God has given us in his revelation and then obeying what we are instructed to do? How about that? Instead of looking for more, it's like those that believe that today we can receive revelation from God. No, the revelation is complete. Here it is, the Bible, okay? There is no new revelation. If somebody comes up to you and says, outside of the Bible, I have a word for you from God. Tell them, keep it to yourself and go the other direction. Because they don't have a word. It's not from God, not the God. God will direct our path through the power of the Holy Spirit and the written word of God. And God does speak to our hearts, not in an audible voice, but he will direct our path as we yield to him. But he will not give us new revelation. We have enough trouble trying to obey this one. Don't we? Yeah, so don't pay any attention to those that come with some kind of special word from God. If it doesn't begin with a Bible reference, run. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, which here he's talking specifically about the law with its promises and threats, unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there you have it. Pretty cut and dry and direct. Hello, my Becca. All right. Any questions, comments? We did the first hour without a menu, so we didn't know what to do. I call the bulletin a menu because it's too. But that's only for the next hour anyway. All right. No questions? All right. Let's go over the prayer list together. I'm going to leave that on. Continue to pray for the church. Pray for next week that it'll be the weather as of right now is supposed to be ideal. Mid-70s, sunny. So that would be good if some wanted to eat outside. That's a possibility. Pray. Continue to invite. And don't forget to update the sign-up sheet in the back, okay? If you have some to add. Continue to pray for Ukraine, law enforcement, tornado victims all scattered about in Arkansas and down south. A lot of devastation. We should probably talk about when we have our meeting about sending some more money to Samaritan's Purse. They're everywhere. Maybe you've seen some commercials on television where they're trying to help. So that's something that we need to talk about. Maybe you could put that on the agenda, Becca. Mark, continue to pray for his health. Missy Nixon, Bill Nicholson, Lori, cancer treatment. Of course, she has surgery on her neck on the 21st. So how's your week of pill?
Everything is great.
You're looking really good, feeling good.
Excellent.
Wednesday. Pray for Ronnie and his mom. Pray, continue to pray that Mary keeps. Do you have another good week, Miss Mary?
Oh, yes.
Well, good. Also, I talked to Judy, and she's going to restart therapy, try to strengthen her legs. Sarah Henry, salvation. Bill, blood pressure and kidneys. Need to pray that God reaches down and touches Bill and heals him. He's got some serious kidney issues, stage 4 type kidney issues. So the next step is dialysis. Isn't that right?
Maybe.
Or a new kidney. And I'd be glad to give you one, but I only have one left. I gave one away. All right. And mine are so old and used up, wouldn't do any good anyway. Steve Michael, salvation and cancer, possibly salvation, definitely cancer. Got an update today from Scotty regarding Erica Thomas. Had a brain tumor removed. It went very well. They think they got it all. It's been sent off to be tested. She has, I don't know, one side or the other. She didn't specify which one, but she basically, I think it's like numb, totally numb. And they're going to do therapy. Not sure whether it's going to be in or outpatient therapy, but sounded upbeat, and so it looks good so far. And then Scott's adoptive family, loss of Uncle Jeff. Pray for healing and salvation, according to what Scotty wrote here. All right. Anybody have someone you need added? Did you raise your hand, Miss Kathy?
Failure about 16, 12 to 16 years ago, and he went, saw a movie about the dialysis, he went through the whole nine yards, and today he's doing great, and I believe God's going to heal Bill as well. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that.
Absolutely.
If not, why pray?
That's right. Yeah, praying without believing is not praying. It's just talking. Yes, ma'am. All right. Anybody else? Oh, poor little tater. Oh.
I'm gonna tell you, forgot him.
Okay. I didn't forget him. He's so little. I looked above him. Yeah. All I know is I don't want to be around when it lets loose. All right, let's stand together and take these requests to the Lord. I'm not going to name them all again. We already named them off to the Lord. Father, thank you that we can pray. And as Kathy said, if we don't believe that you are able to hear and answer prayer, there's no point in praying. So, Father, we lay these requests at your feet in faith, believing. We know, Lord, that sometimes you say wait. Sometimes you say yes, I'll do what you request. Sometimes you say no, your will is not our will. So, Father, help us to accept whatever your will is, what your plan is. And we pray, Father, for those that need physical healing, if it please you, that you'd heal them. We ask, Lord, that for those that are having surgery or those that just had surgery, we pray for healing for them as well. Those that haven't had surgery, you could heal them before. We thank the Lord and how you could clear that artery in her neck without surgery. Same with Larry. You could reach down from heaven and you could open up those arteries. So, Father, if that would please you, we ask you to do it. We pray, Lord, for next week as we have a special day of singing and fellowshipping around the table and fellowshipping around the Word of God and just having a time of enjoying one another. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare hearts. And maybe some that are thinking about coming but haven't committed, we pray, Lord, that you would bring them to that point of making that commitment. And Father, I pray we'd be faithful in inviting folk. And Lord, sometimes we take the Word of God and we hear it over and over again and we fill up notebooks and that's a good thing. And we learn more and more and more, but we never tell anybody else any of it. And I think about what a waste that is, that we don't share what you give us, that someone else can benefit, especially the message of the gospel. For without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and absolute repentance and faith in that, one cannot be born into the family of God. And so, Lord, I pray you would continue to speak to our hearts about being faithful in sharing our faith. We pray you bless the coming hour. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year that we celebrate in a special way. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that blood you shed, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. So we thank you for that. If there's one here this morning that does not know for sure that when they die or when the rapture occurs, they're going to be with you, I pray today would be the day of salvation. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.